Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of his word. Come sit with us.
Some point in our lives, many of us have asked ourselves if there was something more to this existence. If there is something more to this life, if there is something beyond the grave. And for many of us, those nagging questions have gnawed away at us, and we have tried to find an answer to those questions. We've tried by looking at many things, and for some of us, we looked for many years. And we looked until we read the words of Jesus that are found in the Bible, where he tells us that if we will come to him for the forgiveness of our sin, if we will come to him for our salvation, then we will find all that we need. We will find rest for our soul. We will find hope for the future. We will find joy in our heart. We will find peace with God. And Jesus has promised us that he will satisfy us with spiritual nourishment, with spiritual strength, so that we will never hunger and we will never thirst again. He has promised us that we will have eternal life in his presence forever. And so those of us who now belong to him, come together each week to worship him. We come to celebrate our salvation. We come to remember him, to remember what he has done for us, to remember where we are going when we leave this world. And this time of remembrance is often called communion. Sometimes it is called the Lord's Supper. And it is a time that Jesus has not only asked us to observe, but he has commanded us to observe it. And perhaps the earliest written record of how our Lord wants us to remember him can be found in what appears to be a very unlikely place. It can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in the middle of a very intense letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the people in the church in the city of Corinth. A church that was immersed in sin and in error. Church that had gotten off track in their walk with Christ. And so, beginning in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul tells them that in giving this instruction, parangelo in Greek, in giving you these commands concerning the order that is to be found in the church, I do not praise you. Because you are out of order in many ways. And when you come together to worship the Lord, he says it's not for the better, but it is for the worse. You do more harm than good. Your time of worship is a disaster. It is destructive. And sadly, Corinth was not unlike many churches are today. For in the first place, Paul says in verse 18, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you. Schisma in Greek. Splinters. Like wood that has been splintered. There are differences among you that are tearing the church into pieces. And in part, Paul comments, To some degree, I believe those reports about you. For since there is division among you, there also must be factions. Paresis in Greek, differing perspectives among you, different groups standing against one another in order that those who are approved by God may become evident among you. Now, some had it right. Some had it wrong. Maybe some didn't even know what to believe. So, how could Paul bring these factions together? How could he encourage unity in the church in order to purify that church? The answer can be found in remembering how the Lord has instructed us to think about him. Because if we truly know the Lord, and if we focus on him instead of focusing on ourselves, it should change our thinking. It should change our behavior. It should even change our life. And so in verse 20, Paul begins by highlighting the problem, where he says this: when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, because it is impossible to celebrate his death for us in a way that brings honor and glory to him when your focus is on yourselves and on your sin. Let me explain, he says. Before you celebrate communion together, in your eating, in the time that you celebrate the love feast, you take the food that you have brought and you eat it yourselves, satisfying yourselves. Satisfying yourselves first. And the one who is without food is left hungry. And amazingly, he says, another one is even drunk. This isn't fellowship, is it? This isn't love. This is not worship. This does not honor the Lord. What can I say to these things? If you want to selfishly and disgracefully indulge yourselves, Paul says, do you not have houses in which to eat and to drink? Stay home. Or do you despise the church of God? Kataphroneo in Greek. Do you think so little of the people in that assembly that you would risk destroying those people and even shaming them? Kataskuno in Greek, embarrassing those who have nothing to bring? Those for whom Christ has died? What shall I say to you? Paul asks them. Shall I praise you in this? I will not praise you, he says, for you profane the name of Christ by the indecency of your attitude and by your behavior. Okay, that is the problem. Now, here is the solution. So beginning in verse 23, Paul reminds them that these words that he is about to say to them are not his words. They're not his own opinions. But he tells them that he has received these words by direct revelation. He says, I've received this instruction from the Lord. The same truth that I have also delivered to you. Paradidomi in Greek. The truth that you know. The truth that I have entrusted to you. The same truth that has been entrusted to us. Well, these instructions that Paul is about to give take us back in time. They take us back to the night before Jesus Christ would be crucified. The night in which he was betrayed by one of his own disciples. What he has given to us in these instructions, what he has given to us to strengthen us, to give us hope, he gave as the evil of this world was coming down upon him, as the weight of our sin was falling upon him. But on that night, he thought of us. He thought of us here today. Well, that night the disciples of Jesus had come together for a different reason, hadn't they? They had come together to celebrate the Passover feast, which was a time of remembrance. It was a time of celebration of an event that we find in Exodus chapter 12. And you may recall that incident where God was about to deliver his people from their bondage in Egypt. And so an angel of death was about to go throughout the land, and every firstborn male of every household, both man and beast, would die. And the only way to escape that judgment, the judgment of God, was to follow his instructions. You may recall what those instructions were. Each household was to take a lamb from the flock, a lamb that was unblemished, and at twilight, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the same time that Jesus would breathe his last breath from the cross, that lamb was killed, and the blood was applied to the doorposts and above the door of that house. So that when the angel of death saw the blood, he would pass over that house and spare those who were inside. And it didn't really matter who you were. It didn't matter if you were rich or poor. It didn't matter whether you were educated or uneducated. You know, it really didn't even matter whether you were Hebrew or an Egyptian. The only thing that mattered was whether you believed God, whether you did what he said to do, and you applied that blood. And the Passover feast was the time for the children of Israel to remember that night and to celebrate their deliverance from their bondage. But on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he transformed that feast into a time for us to remember how he has delivered us from the bondage of our sin. He truly is our Passover lamb. And so it says in verse 24, Jesus took a loaf of bread from the table, and when he had given thanks to his Father in heaven, he broke that bread and he gave a piece of it to each of his disciples. And he said, "This is a picture of my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Anamnesis in Greek. Do this in order to bring back to your mind all that I am, all that I have done for you. Relive it in your mind. In Isaiah chapter 52, and speaking of the Messiah who was to come, it says he was disfigured and he was marred more than any other man. All that he has suffered, all that he has endured was for us, was for you, was for me. So, as we eat this bread, we share in his body. We share in his life that he has given for us so that now we can have new life in him forever. Nothing can separate us from him. And so this time brings us just a little bit closer to him, doesn't it? A little bit closer to our Savior. in love and in gratitude as we remember him. And in the same way, we're told in verse 25, after giving thanks, he took the cup. He took it after supper, saying, this cup is a picture of the new covenant, diatheke in Greek, of a new agreement between you and me, an agreement which is written in my blood. My blood is the only means by which you can receive forgiveness for your sin. As we are told in Jeremiah chapter 31, the Lord says, I will forgive their sin. I will remember their sin no more. How? How does that happen? How can we be forgiven? It is through the blood of the Lamb. It's through the blood of the Lamb of God. It is through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so he says in verse 25, after all that I've done for you, after all that he has done for us to save our soul, is it too much for us to do this in remembrance of him? Reminding ourselves of the significance of the cross? And so it says, as often as you drink from this cup, and as often as you eat this bread, it says what? We proclaim. Katangelo in Greek. We announce. We testify to the significance of the Lord's death. What it means for anyone who will listen. For anyone who will believe. This is a picture of Christ. It's a visual representation of him. It's a representation that is seen by the whole world, isn't it? It's seen by angels. It's seen by demons. It is a proclamation that we make until, it says, he comes. Until he returns to take us home to glory. This is a sacred time. This is a time that has been established by Christ himself. And so we must be careful how we observe it. So here's the warning, Paul tells us in verse 27. Whoever among you eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner, anaxios in Greek, without weight, like a feather on a scale, with very little thought for what we're doing, with very little regard for the one whom we are remembering, with improper thoughts, with a bad attitude, with a life that is out of control and out of line, as we harbor resentment and bitterness, or even hatred or sin. If that is how we come to this table, then we shall be guilty, Paul says. Anokos in Greek. We shall be held accountable. We are treating Christ like those who killed him. We are trampling on his body with no respect for him, with no love for him. We insult him by our irreverent attitude, and we act as if we do not value the blood of the Lord, blood that he poured out. We act as if we do not need his blood. We do not need him to die for us. It's a stern warning, isn't it? But to avoid the disgrace, to avoid this guilt, what do we do? We need to prepare our heart for this time together. So Paul instructs us in verse 28, and he says, let a man or a woman examine himself, dokimazo in Greek. Let us evaluate ourselves. Let us evaluate our lives, confessing our sin, asking for forgiveness from the Lord, asking forgiveness from those that we have wronged, turning away from that sin. And then, he says, let us come to the table with gratitude and with thankfulness in our heart, then let us eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who drinks, who eats and drinks unworthily, drinks judgment to himself, it says in verse 29. Krema in Greek. We stand on trial in order to receive chastening and discipline from the Lord. We invite God to correct us, since we will not correct ourselves. So because you do not judge correctly, Paul says, diakrino in Greek, because you do not properly discern the value of the body of the person of Christ correctly and accurately, who he is, what he has done for us. For this reason, he tells those in the church in the city of Corinth, many among you are weak. Asthenes in Greek. Many are without strength. Many are sick, he says. Arostos, you are feeble, and you are in the rottenness of decay. And a number of people among you sleep. Koimao in Greek. They have died because the Lord has taken them home because they disregarded the sanctity of this time together. They disregarded the value of what is taking place at this table. But, he adds, verse 31, there is a way to avoid these things. And he tells them, if we judged ourselves rightly, diakrino, if we had true spiritual discernment to assess our true spiritual condition in the light of the word of God, then we would not be judged. Krino. We would not be disciplined by the Lord. But when we are judged by him, it says, diakrino, when the Lord discerns our true spiritual condition, because we would not, then we are disciplined by him. Paiduo. In Greek, we are trained and we are corrected like a father corrects his children in order that we may not be condemned. Katakrino, sentenced to eternal punishment along with the rest of the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, Paul concludes in verse 33, when you come together to eat, and to fellowship, and to worship, wait for one another, so that there might be unity among you. And if you are that hungry that you just can't wait, then I would suggest that you eat at home, so that you may not come together for judgment. Krema, to stand on trial, to be disciplined by the Lord. And Paul adds, the remaining matters concerning your worship, I will arrange in proper order when I come to you. That would be quite a meeting, wouldn't it? So let us come together with thankfulness. Let us come together in love. Let us come together in truth. And let us come to give glory to our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, our Lord, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.